Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the author of The Boy Crisis, Warren Farrell. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, cloying wiseacre, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. I love to see those ratings go up. It means you've been sharing with people, so thanks in advance for that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Winner, 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 winner. Bring it on.
I have thoughts. I have an idea. I think you guys are going to like this idea. First, I'll tell you half of the show brought to you by Tommy John. I'm wearing mine right now. TommyJohn.com/Adam. BetOnline.ag. Enter podcast one. Castrol Edge. Titanium strong for maximum engine performance. All right. You tell me if you guys would agree with this and or a version of this, because we're living in a time where we must. This is required. Like, we have to no longer, we can't let people walk through the airport with their dogs anymore. Too many people are out of hand.
Right.
They're taking advantage
of it. Trusted.
Right, right.
And Mallings.
As I was, I thought, well, let me go on to iTunes and see how my stand-up special, see how people are liking it. I'll see how the reviews are, see what the people think. And I looked at it and it said 4.8 stars out of 5. And I thought, oh, that's not too shabby. 4.8 stars, not too bad. And then I looked up and it said 16 reviews. And I thought, all right. And then I looked up and I clicked on it and it was 15 5 stars and then one star.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And
took the average.
Get you down
yep.
a little bit. And I don't mind.
I'm sure the one star is well-reasoned, cogent.
I don't mind the one
star.
They
watch more than 8 minutes.
The one star to me is the equivalent to someone shooting you the bird on the freeway. Like, that's just a guy who's angry or doesn't like you, whatever. Again, the three star is much worse than a one star. One star, because one star you don't pay attention to. I mean, there are stand-up specials that are one star, but they're all somewhere between 2 and 5, you know?
Yeah, the one star is thoughtless. And I don't mean it's like inconsiderate. It's just like, you know, you don't think much about it. Like, one star, not a fan, whatever.
Yeah, that's a troll or a hater, whatever it is. So now, because we have constructed a society where people must jump online and do this for some reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see lots of things I don't enjoy in the entertainment world, but I don't hop online
don't
and
go the extra mile.
Two dope queens. I don't think so. Not
like
funny. Yeah. That being said, at HBO primetime, just talking about what they're wearing for 18 minutes at the top of each show is probably, feel like John Oliver and John Stewart would have sorted that one out a little bit better than
two
that.
Two dope queens.
But anyway, I don't go online and give them negative reviews. Yeah. I yell about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Much more effective. So I now realize, because we're living in a world of trolls, and I think it was like,
because we're living in a world of trolls, giving one star reviews on iTunes.
No, it's like Amy. I said I was checking.
Banks, get on it.
Like Amy Schumer will have like 10 5 stars and 38 1 stars.
Right.
You know, she's being trolled. Now, I probably wasn't that good a stand up special, but it's not one star. Well, it's not 38 1 stars. That's trolling. Okay. So I think we need a new system.
Okay.
Because if you got 15 5 stars and then the one, you're just down in the 4 and change. Mm-hmm. And it'd be nice to be 5.0.
Sure.
If that's where you're at. What if we do a new, and no one can control this anymore, and no one can say, well, that wasn't one star. Right. I know what's in your heart. But we need to have an algorithm. And the algorithm is sort of like, if you have a restaurant and you make lasagna, and 15 people say it's the best lasagna they've ever tasted, and one person says I'll feed it to the pigs. Yeah. I wouldn't even touch it. I spat it back in my way. We have to remove that person somehow from the process.
It's like the boxing judge.
Yeah, the boxing judge. So
if there's a smattering of reviews, that's a different thing, because it obviously represents a spectrum.
But right.
How about this as a compromise?
Okay.
What if you took the one-star review and had it just blank out one of the five-star reviews?
Mm.
And so if you got five bad ones, you'd blank out five of them.
I'm not sure if the Olympics or someone does it where they eliminate the highest score and the lowest score, and they go with like the five, you know, other scores, because it takes out the outliers. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, we'll get rid of the highest and the lowest, and whatever is in between is more representative.
Sort of like that.
Yeah.
In which case, then I'd be left with 14. Five stars.
That's good.
That's
more representative of the sample.
I was also laughing because I just clicked on IMDb and winning Raising Life of Paul Newman, 7.7.
The rare high sevens.
Adam Carolla builds stuff live, 7.7.
Wow.
On IMDb, but it never gets past 8. They have a system that has no A's and no F's.
No.
If you go to their school, everyone's about a C+,
exactly.
B-.
That's
every student at their school.
B- rules the school.
This is the full spectrum of reviews.
Yeah.
Everybody's a C+, or it's all A's and F's.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I clicked on Not Taco Bell Material, the stand-up special, and it had a 6.6. It now looks like it's been lowered. It had three five
on
stars.
On IMDb.
IMDb, yeah. It had like 3 5 stars and then 2 1 stars. So, again, it was doing that thing. It didn't really have enough, but now it's been lowered again.
Yeah so one other person gave you one.
It's 3-3.
So it's 3-3. So you should have zero right now.
Yeah, we got to get rid of these.
So I have.
That's great.
I have 3 10s and 3 1s.
As of recording this, yes. So it's 5-5 now. They're saying the reason is they also look at each reviewer's history of reviewing movies.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 of these reviewers, of the 6 that reviewed Not Talking About Material, their average rating is 4. So they do a lot of negative reviews.
Oh, I see.
On IMDb, and I think that they take that into account as well.
That's good. Also, wasn't there a new rule? Didn't I see something come up about Rotten Tomatoes that you can't review something before it's out? Because
Gina
that was
and I
an
were
issue.
Just talking about this before the show, before the mics heated up. I said to Gina, I said, I don't even want to dip my toe in. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of controversy with Captain Marvel, this new superhero movie with Brie Larson that's coming out. Like, Rotten Tomatoes is like rejiggering their scoring system for movies that haven't been released yet because people are trolling or so. I don't want to know. I don't want to get involved in this. I'm aware of it now because it's just kind of everywhere.
Yeah. That was how I sort of felt about after Neverland or leaving Neverland finding Neverland or Neverland. But now I know it.
Neverland.
I can't unsee it. Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, the world's coming undone. I'm also confused because I watched Shazam and Captain Marvel when I was a kid, and it was a totally different thing. I'm confused here. This is Captain Marvel with Brie Larson?
Yeah. I had literally never heard of Captain Marvel until about 2.5 years ago.
And Adam, this is very nerdy, but there are 2 Captain Marvels.
Yeah.
So there's one in the DC universe, and there's one in the Marvel universe.
Oh, okay.
Which one's this?
This is Marvel.
It's not the one I saw in the 70s. If you figure out the one in the 70s was an old guy driving around a safari jacket in a Winnebago with like a young Latino teenage boy or like it looked like American Indian or something. Yeah,
El Capitan Marvel.
Who then turned into this lantern jawed, big chested superhero that looked nothing like him.
So that you're thinking of now who they're calling Shazam.
Shazam.
Who's
that's right.
They're making a movie with him with Zachary Levi.
What about Shaq?
Yeah, Shazam. That was Kazam.
Kazam.
Oh, sorry.
Shazam.
You're racist. Shazam turned into Captain Marvel in the TV series I would watch.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they ever explained why the older dude in the safari jacket was driving around with the young runaway 17-year-old boy, but when you see these
it's
two.
It's a different time.
Not since Too Close for Comfort.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Ted Knight?
Yeah, Ted Knight.
So Okay, so here's your...
Wasn't Jim J. Bullock in that? Or
yes,
was
he was the neighbor.
Okay.
He was gay before people knew what gay was. Yeah. Like, that guy's such a weird
he
dude.
He was flamboyant.
all right, here's your marching orders, Max Batta. We never discussed any of this before the show, but if you find the too close for comfort, don't put them up yet. The two sisters, Ted Knight, who's one of the whitest men in the world, mm-hmm. was married to a sort of clear-skinned, I mean clear as in white.
Translucent.
So clear she was translucent, sort of redhead.
Okay.
They had one daughter who was like a 70s playmate, beach bunny, blonde. Mm-hmm. And they had one that was like hardcore Latina. Oh. And they never really, they just had the two daughters. Like they never said. The other one was so hardcore that she was in the movie Warriors. It's like the chick gangbanger. Chick. She was the Latina like chick from the Warriors. I have no idea what she was doing in the sitcom with this.
No reference
him
to blended
and
families.
Her. No, wow. No. And if you look, Max Pata, if you look at Shazam from the 70s and you see what the kid turned into, he turned into a completely different race. I mean, of course, he got the muscles and everything, but he turned into a completely different human being. All right. So there's
that.
Take
that one, tomatoes.
Brian.
Yeah, buddy.
You talking about... you announced when you had your salty cookies the other day how delectable they were.
Oh, well, Christy made cookies. I brought some in. Yeah.
And, I thought that was a separate thing. But Christy makes a salty one. And I have said...
Is this the same thing we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I didn't know she brought in this batch. I know she makes the salty
cookies.
Yes,
this is her first batch in several months, and I brought them in to everyone's delight.
Thank you. Yeah. They're so good. They're so good. I have said, I've been yelling for years. Brian's heard this. Years. I've been saying, long before the whole salty cookie and salty sweetie thing had been in vogue, I said, the reason Mexico can't make dessert is because they went, well, what's the difference between like a bagel and a Danish? Like, what's the difference between a roll and dessert, like a piece of pie? Or what's the difference between a piece of bread and a piece of pie? Like, what's the difference? And the answer is sugar. Sugar is what makes a Danish from a roll into a dessert, into a Danish. Okay. Sugar. So they went, all right, sugar it shall be. And they started like, they started melting down sugar in the shape of a cactus. They just give you blocks of sugar. Like, when you go to, if you ever go to Tijuana or Mexico, whatever, dessert, sugar. And I would always yell, the salt. You need the salt. The salt brings it out. And the metaphor.
It plays well against chocolate, especially. That's just a sweet ingredient.
The metaphor I was looking for when I was talking, I was saying the reason all the best laughs, the biggest laughs ever, were Super Dave's funeral a few weeks back, because it was a funeral. Mm-hmm. So then every time
the
something
contrast.
Came, it was all salt. Mm-hmm. Every time some sugar came, it popped. It went nuts. And I say the same for movies and sitcoms. And like, when it's all sugar, it's just whatever. It brings it out. But man, does it bring it out when you when Chrissy makes those cookies.
Just a little sprinkling of the sea salt right on top. Not a lot, just enough to play against the sweetness of the chocolate or whatever.
But it's that way in life, in general.
Yeah.
That's
why this show works.
The hot tub feels good when it's snowing outside.
Yep.
You know,
a quick example of that is I went to brunch with a bunch of friends over the weekend, and one of them told this horrific story about their father from, you know, when he was a kid, and this horrible thing that happened to him, and how his, you know, pet was killed and he was left and basically abandoned. And at the very end of the story, everybody was just stunned silent, and I yelled the aristocrats, and everybody cracked up because they were just grateful for the break in the somberness. So it works.
That's the hardest.
The aristocrats.
Where were
joke.
The cookies? I'm confused.
Oh, God damn it.
Metaphor. That's the hardest Joan Kimmel's ever laughed, is when I made a joke at her dad's funeral, at least in front of me. Still brings it up to this day. All right. We're looking at the young Latino guy, and then we're looking at Captain Marvel, and they're not the same shade.
Very different. One looks like Bill Hader.
One dude turning the other dude? This is a...
Yeah, the guy would spin around.
Oh, wow.
And become white?
Some real gentrification.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... Before special effects, there's just a lot of... During very limited special effects, what you would do is you would start spinning around, and then at some point there'd be a cut, you know, and then you'd just land.
Wow.
So I don't know why they cast this kid, and I don't know why they cast this guy to play this guy. But I don't know. I say too close for comfort's even a bigger casting travesty.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
That's good stuff.
Now, the Ted Knight is super white, and his wife is super white, and you got to find a picture of this chick. And his daughter's super blonde and super white.
Girl on the top left is 70s ethnic.
Ethnic.
Yeah, she's...
What? Like, I know, like, what I'm saying is like, I understand when you go, hey, we're casting a sitcom, we need a little flavor in here. And they're like, okay, we'll make the daughter's best friend the Latina chick who lives across the hall. They're like, well, why don't we just make it her sister? Well,
better yet.
Because she doesn't have the same heritage. Like, they don't look the same.
Quiet. Give me some headshots.
Different.
Right.
Is that Audrey Meadows?
It looks like Audrey Meadows was in this.
It's quite a cast.
It was... Yeah, it was one of those sitcoms I would watch because there was nothing else on TV.
Yeah.
He played a animator. Oh. And he had a puppet named Cosmic Cow, and he would like hold it and talk to himself. Oh, it was quite a fall from grace from Mary Tyler Moore.
Sure.
But Lou, what a crazy pussy.
What was the general storyline here? Just stupid sitcom?
We live in a super small place, and we have to get along.
Too close for comfort.
Was
he in Caddyshack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've never seen this show. I'm not aware of this show.
In UHF.
Ted Knight's a legend. All right. I had a little bit of misfortune this morning, so I got up early, and I was going to drive from... You guys tell me. I have an assistant, and I like to use my assistant, but I do not like to bother him on weekends, Boom. And I don't like to wake him up in the morning.
That's Boom. Nice.
I feel like his time is his time. And
those punch-in hours.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do their assistants. They do a lot of like Sundays and nights, and they just anytime something goes wrong, they just call them. And my feeling is like, well, it's a job, and you're at home, and if it's noon, I'll call you. But if it's 7 a.m., you're probably sleeping. Yeah. So I was had to get up early this morning and do Kevin and Bean, and I figured out through ways that. From my house in La Cañada to Kevin Bean's studio was going to take an hour and 15 minutes.
I was going to say, depending on the time, that could be a nice drive, you know, 5 hours.
Hour and 15.
That's rough.
And then it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
It was just pouring rain.
Yeah.
And so I got up, threw myself in the swimming pool.
In the rain?
Oh, yeah.
So dramatic.
Well, the reality is it's actually a little warmer when it's raining outside. It's when it gets super dry and crisp.
But the optics make you look more heroic.
I know. Lynette
Unbreakable.
I was naked,
You're
too.
Bruce Willis and Unbreakable.
Wow. Okay, never mind.
Lynette went up to the balcony to
so
a picture. So I threw myself in the pool, and I got out, and it was like, I'm going to leave at 7:30, and I looked down at the phone, and Matt had dutifully... punched in the address into Waze. He pre-Wazed me. But the address said something, 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 Wilshire Boulevard. And I was like, they're in Venice, right? Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, did they move? And then I thought, oh, I'm doing SiriusXM the next day. And I told Matt, also, you got to figure out my drive to the SiriusXM, whatever. Matt probably... put in the Sirius XM Wilshire address right. instead of the Makes K-Rock sense. Address because they're on Venice.
Or more likely, he put one in and then the other and it said, are you still heading to, you know what I mean? Like, it'll do the most cancel. Recent.
Yeah. Whatever it is, I sat there at 7:20 in the morning and I thought, shall I call Matt? Or shall I just go online and find out where K-Rock is? So I can figure it out. So I just Googled in K-Rock address, and the K-Rock address that came up with a story. I don't know, Max Pat, if you have that, but it's like it told the story of where they moved to and when they moved and blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, but what I do have is so in Waze, if Matt types in K-Rock, two addresses come up. So the Venice one's actually the top one, but world famous K-Rock 106.7 Wilshire is the next selectable one. whereas the first one's K-Rock, 93.1 Jack FM.
Well, I had no K-Rock. I just had Wilshire Boulevard on my phone. I didn't have the K-Rock name.
Stupid question. Did they move to Wilshire?
I guess they did. Oh. Unfortunately, because I didn't want to wake up Matt.
They'd been in that K-Rock, in that Venice building for 20 years.
And if that's where they move back to KLSX.
I typed in K-Rock address, and it gave a whole little story, like a Wikipedia story. Then they moved here in 2002, and then blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, there they are. So I was like, well, I guess Matt gave me the Sirius XM address and not the K-Rock address. And I put that into my phone, and I took off. And it was driving rain. And it was a move where it's like, get on the 210 freeway and head west. And then it was like, get off the 210 freeway.
Quick!
Turn around. Go down Chevy Chase Drive. You know that feeling when I've had it, when you're like, I'm driving from here to Irvine, and you hop on the freeway that you should be on for the next hour going in a straight line, and it goes, get off on Garden Grove Boulevard. Yeah. Like, I'm getting, it's essentially like saying, I'm going to drive to Santa Barbara, and you get on the 101, and it tells you to get off on Woodman and like start taking side streets.
Local
and you're
reference.
Like, that's a bad.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we all have a version of that, but it just means
something went wrong early.
I'll be taking side streets to K-Rock.
Right.
In my mind, to Culver City from here.
It's a healthy drive. Well, hour and 15, as you put it.
So now I'm like, God damn it. I had to like get off the freeway. And then it was like, get back on the freeway. And
I
was like, once in a while, Waze gets a little spun around. And I don't want to. It's a great technology. And
Google Maps does it too.
We're dicks for complaining about great technology that we benefit from, so I try not to. So it was like pouring rain, and it was like, get off the freeway. Now it's now turn around and get back on the freeway, and blah, blah, blah. And it was just driving rain. And I was like looking at the time you're going to get there and stuff, and I was driving up like a mountain road in Glendale, and there's pouring rain. I was just like, this isn't going to work.
This isn't going to work.
And I just turned around and went home and to reschedule, and then I found out that Bean of Kevin and Bean announced that he was retiring today.
Monumental day in LA radio.
Probably why they wanted you in studio.
I don't know, but I picked quite a day to turn around. And it really wasn't I'm tired. I don't want to get out of bed. I was in the swimming pool. I put gel in my hair. I was
you're
dressed.
I
put
on humble brag.
I put on pants.
Oh, damn.
We get
pants.
It. You want gel and pants. Get it.
I was ready to go.
So what happened?
I was on the road.
He
made one extra left turn. He had to go home.
Now, as soon as I got home, I got back into Home Depot mode and put the cap on and switched to the sweats. But, and Bean, who I'm a big fan of, and Kevin and Bean, I don't know. I mean, he's 30 years.
Yeah.
Funny, we're just talking to Jeff Ross about 30 years and 30 years. Also, it's... so insane.
Do you have any further intel on the
we
Bean
have
situation?
I have a bunch of his tweets.
Saw a tweet said he's moving back to England. Yeah. I don't know what back means.
Apparently he's originally from England. Like I don't know if he has dual citizenship or whatever, but he was born in England. And he actually had a really nice quote. And he said, I don't know if this is just convenient or not, but he said that Luke Perry's death kind of shook him up and it was a big wake-up call for him. And he said, because he and his wife always wanted to move to Europe. And he said, it can't always be a spot on the horizon. When you're young and healthy enough to enjoy it, you can't put off things that you've been looking forward to in life forever. So he said, screw it. Let's just go.
Well, Bean went to, I mean, he was at K-Rock. When I got to K-Rock, they were the new kids. They were trying to knock off like Rick Dees and
Mark and Brian.
Mark and Brian. It was such a weird thing that now they're the Wiley veterans on the block. And the Baker Boys, I think, were hot then too.
Totally random footnote. How's the K-Rock doc coming? I haven't heard a breath of it in months.
Oh, thanks. We're working on it. We stopped it for a while. There was some Netflix discussion and some Jimmy discussion. It kind of got shelved, and now we're back on
very
it.
Excited. One thing I always wondered, I wonder if you want to address this or if you have any intel on this. Kevin Bean, very successful, been here in the second biggest market in the country for 30 years, dominating or at least doing extremely well in their demos. Why never syndicated? Let me know they were in Santa Barbara for a little while, but you know what I mean. Like, well, they're a juggernaut,
especially when you're breaking bands the way they were.
And they have A-list guests almost every day.
That's a good question.
That's would be big for a lot
it's
of
all
markets,
the local news and traffic.
I will.
They syndicated
I'm
so
kidding,
many other shows.
I'm kidding.
So many
I have
shows.
Thoughts. I have thoughts on that I will share with you. Let me hit Tommy John first, and then I will tell you my syndication thoughts, which may not be correct. Men and women love underwear. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. I normally wear them in the pool in the morning, but I was up before the kids were up. I didn't want to traumatize the kids with my nature.
Thank you.
But
on behalf of them.
So this morning,
are you kidding me?
I went in without the Tommy Johns, and then slipped right into the Tommy Johns as soon as I got out of the swimming pool.
Daddy, stop talking.
Both men and women's underwear. They got the no wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay put waistbands, fabrics that are so soft they move with you. Dress shirts, undershirts. I was just wearing my dress shirt on the highest rated Jimmy Kimmel episode in the last 3 months or something like that.
Coincidence?
Well, it wasn't all me. There was some Lady Gaga probably pulled some eyeballs onto that
Lady
show.
Lady who?
No.
She's a pop singer.
Pop singer? I'm not really into pop music.
Yeah, I don't like popular music.
Most of her fans don't stay up late, but there probably were a few.
Okay. I'll look her up.
Anyway,
dress shirts to you both.
And undershirts. Yes. New air collection for the ladies. Quick drying, antimicrobial fabric, no visible panty line, guarantee. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free. Guarantee, right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam now and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
K-Rock syndication. K-Rock was always very proprietary. They just they didn't like us being on MTV.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they
really?
Never liked us being on MTV. Radio's got weird rules, and the rules are, remember we were talking the other day about, well, Forts is going to feature a car. Why wouldn't you put your logo on the car and you get the free advertising? And K-Rock would be the one that went, because we don't do that.
Sure.
And you'd go, but like, I used to go on Conway and Steckler's show. I was on Conway's show last night, but I used to go on Conway and Doug Steckler, and I liked Conway. I liked doing radio. I thought, and I always enjoyed sitting in on other people's radio shows, and especially when they were good, you know.
Yeah.
And so, speaking of Wilshire, KLSX was on Wilshire, another part of Wilshire, a Koreatown, and they'd say, hey, want to come on the show? And I'd go, well, when I'm driving into Loveline, I'll stop by at 9 o'clock. I'll hang in for 40 minutes, and then I'll take off to Loveline. K-Rock always hated that. But
promoting
I would
show.
Listen, I it was so funny because Tim Conway Jr. would always go, I always listen to KLSX. You know, I listen to John and Jeff on the way home. But during a commercial, I'll switch it over to Loveline to check you out for a few minutes. Always good stuff. You know, and it was always super clear to me that he would always listen to us on the ride home.
Yeah,
like you could do a commercial for Miller Lite, but it doesn't mean you're going to go home and crack a Miller Lite. As soon as you're out of the public eye, you're going to grab an Amstel or whatever you like.
Sure.
So, I always looked at it as, well, we're advertising your, the program director would get pissed at me, like, don't go on their radio show. I'm going, you're mad at me. Their program director should be mad at them for having me advertise your station on the show.
The only people hearing me are their listeners, 100%.
Didn't like Loveline on MTV, didn't like syndication of Loveline. And in general,
they didn't like it so much they put it in 260 markets.
Yeah. In general, didn't like anything outside of K-Rock. The plan was if you're on K-Rock, you stay on K-Rock, we find you on K-Rock, and that's where you are. So it was always coming from TV and logic land, was always like, well, why wouldn't it be better just to spread out and get more people for you? But so that was a sort of K-Rock mantra, like we don't syndicate, we stay on K-Rock. K-Rock's enough, people come to us.
Were you ever, I mean, just because it's you, everyone else would have been, but did you ever get any punishment for continuing to go on a station when they asked you not to? Because that's a pretty big deal in radio.
I would do, I wasn't on premise at K-Rock. I wasn't physically there.
Right.
So, by the way, man, you know when they do that, possession is 9/10 of the law. Not being in the building is about 100% of the law. Like just physically never being there. You don't walk by anyone's office and go, hey, oh, Adam, can you step in for a second? Hey,
before you leave,
close the door, please. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things that made Loveline special, I didn't realize until I worked there, I put it together, having been a long time listener, was this sort of out of sight, out of mind thing. It was late at night. It was off premise. It was the inmates running the asylum to a small extent. Like that, you know, you guys got notes once in a while, like every 6 months, and mm-hmm. you kind of like stuck to them for about 48 hours and then didn't. So it was a little bit unsupervision, which
there was a 1-2 punch. It was not being in the same building. Not being in the same building at the same hours, even. It wasn't even like anyone could come by during work hours and find us. We were off in the middle of the night. Everyone else was gone. And, like, killer ratings. Like, just always being number one. Like, I don't know. The thing about
buys you a lot of grace.
The thing about whether it's a syndicated radio show or a golf swing, like at a certain point when the guy's just driving it 300 yards and just crushing it, like you stop going, you're lifting your head or your elbow needs to, you just kind of see where the ball lands and you kind of go, as a box, as a golf instructor, this is bad form, but the ball keeps going down the fairway. So
no one's tinkering with Ichiro's swing.
Right.
And meanwhile, with Bean, he hasn't physically been around for how long?
Well, that was the other crazy rule of radio. So radio is just filled with rules. And the rules are stupid rules. They don't make sense.
Just like say stupid rules. They're full of stupid rules.
Stupid rules. I wanted to be syndicated in 91X in San Diego, where I was number one for 10 years. And like, we want to have local guys doing morning radio. Like, you want to have local no talents talking about nothing? Wouldn't you rather have a great voice? Like, we've proven. Thank you.
I wasn't part of the show at that point, so I don't know.
We've proven that there's no more boundaries with podcasting or whatever. Nobody cares where people are. They were like, we need the local flavor. Like, okay, what are you, Ron Burgundy? Like, stay classy. So it just had dumb guys with dumb rules. And it was dogma. It was like, that's the way it is. And so when we went out to Bean was always kind of a restless soul. You know, when I first met Bean, he was living way out in like Valencia or something on like almost like a ranch. Like I went over to his house and built him racks that held literally 20,000 CDs. He literally had like a 20,000 CD collection.
Damn.
And he needed racks for those. And I just built them like 30 feet along a wall, you know, 20 high and turn the corner and 30 feet the other way.
A rolling ladder?
Yeah.
Like an old library?
Just millions. That's where I got the line. You know, I was going back and forth to like Valencia or wherever he lived, like in a barn, like in a ranch or something. And of course, I'd tell him like, I'll be there Tuesday. And then he'd be like, I don't want to drive out to Valencia. And then I'd see him and I'd go, Thursday. And he said, you're one of those 95%ers who never quite finishes the job, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm a 75%er giving you an extra 20%.
That's good.
He just shut up.
Gauntlet thrown back in his face.
No, it's like, I'm up in my game for you. I built him a bunch of stuff. He lived out on a ranch there. At some point, we ended up all going to Seattle for the Final Four and UCLA famously, and me and Jimmy staying in the same motel room and blah, blah, blah. And I think Bean went out there in 94 with UCLA Final Four at the Kingdome or whatever it was.
It was spring of 95.
95, probably.
Sounds right.
And we went there, and I think Bean really fell in love with that area.
From that event?
He was so overwhelmed with the joy.
I'm never going back.
Well,
big Don McLean fan.
This is, you know, imagine Seattle minus the homeless. Like with Ken Griffey Jr. And no homeless
people.
That's
right. A young Randy Johnson.
Right. So it's like, there you are. Yeah. And and you go, well, I'm going to move here. And so I guess he was thinking about it. And against every rule in radio, he just moved. And, of course, what happened? Nothing. Same thing happened when I went on Conway and Steckler. Just nothing. Everything's just nothing. It's like, here's what's going to happen. Well, here's the doom and the gloom. Mm. And then nothing ever happened.
Mark and Brian did the same thing, moved back to North Carolina. And we did the entire Mark in the Morning show with him in his living room, ISDN. It's just not a big deal.
Well, it's an audio show. It's you're putting your earbuds or you're driving your car. What's the difference between the person being in the back seat of your car or in Culver City or out of the state or out of the country? As long as it's coming through the speakers of your car. Yeah.
Kevin, we have a rapport too. I mean, they know each other's timing and pacing, and they'll adjust for not being in the same room.
I don't think Friends was shot in New York. I think it was shot out here, but that was fine.
Whoa.
That was fine with me.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so then he's in Seattle for 17 years. What year did he move to Seattle? So I went out to Seattle. I visited him in Seattle. He's on an island or outside island or whatever.
99.
Got his pigs. Yeah, so probably took him about 4 years to have it kind of emulsify in his brain, but he was probably wanting to get out there, and they figured it out, and it was blasphemy when he did it, but now it's like, who cares? Then he went to New Orleans, which Mike August is from New Orleans, and he's like, why would anyone move to New Orleans?
I got out.
Although he's in New Orleans right now. And so I was thinking about Bean. Bean's like every decade he gets up and goes somewhere. He's just one of those guys. And, you know, Kevin's been in Encino for the last 28 years. Mm-hmm. So they're different types. Yes.
Now, you said he was retiring. He said he's not retiring. He's actually going to look for a radio job out in the UK.
Yeah, he said he knows the odds are stacked against him, but...
What did I must have misread his tweet, or maybe he's retiring from K-Rock and moving on to whatever in the UK. Yeah. So he's a good guy, and we wish him well, and he's not going for another nine or ten months or whatever.
I would imagine that looking for a radio gig in the UK is the equivalent of actually retiring and, like, you know, volunteering at a school or at a crosswalk, you know what I mean? Like, he's not looking to dominate UK radio. Like, he's probably just going to, you know... get a hobby.
He's
done very well for 20 years.
He's a very good broadcaster, so he may very well catch on. Now, I guarantee what's going on at K-Rock right now is like, we need young and Latina in here and super funny. Because when I left Loveline, that was the whole thing. They're like, we need like a 23-year-old Latino guy to come in here and kick some ass.
Did they find one?
Good luck.
Stryker, the least Latino young guy ever.
Good luck. All right, let me tell you about betonline.ag. Ton of action on NBA, college basketball, NHL as well. Plus, March Madness is less than a month away. Only one place to play the early lines in action. You place those at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account. Use the promo code podcast1. Receive 50% sign-up bonus. Plus... what else did I say? Yeah, 50% sign up bonus. And can anyone slow down the Warriors? I don't know, Brian. No.
I'll check my socks. No.
What about the Lakers? Oh.
Will they make the playoffs?
My favorite part about the Lakers is watching them lose and then watching Snoop freak out.
I joke about them being the Warriors. They lost last night to the lowly Celtics. So.
Eh,
it happened.
Taking a night off. Anyway, use the your mobile device today with the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus and try in-game live betting. That makes it fun, man. BetOnline.ag, your online sports book expert. All right. So we wish Bean well. They got me started.
Had you been going in studio? I thought you'd just been calling in.
Well, that was the controversy.
Today was a big day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, is that...
Well,
was that part of it?
It was supposed to be.
I have no idea. I obviously wanted to plug Not Taco Bell material, which you guys can get at Chassis, two S's and a Y, or iTunes. Leave either a great review or a horrible review, but nothing in between.
It's insulting.
And I have no idea, but it just kind of turned out that way. Mm-hmm. And yes, fond memories of Kevin and Bean. And so many years and being there with Kimmel all those many years ago. And everything was new and exciting because we're getting started in radio. My God, I was in radio. I was listening to those guys and and Loveline, listening to Loveline all those years, I don't know that there'll be, like, everyone would just listen to Loveline back in the day. I was one of them. Yeah. Just listen to Loveline. Everyone is so fractioned off now, it could never happen. We'll keep track of Bean. I'll probably go see him or at least talk to him before he takes off. He's a very interesting soul and a guy. One of the sort of, there's a few guys left that are broadcast, you know, really, like Howard Stern loves broadcasting. Yeah. Bean loves broadcasting. Yeah. Like it's a lost art to them.
We should have him on the show.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
He can Skype in or wherever he does, ISDN. He's a broadcasting legend.
Yeah, I haven't met him. I've only met Kevin. Kevin's wife's amazing, but I've never met Bean.
Super nice guy. His wife, no.
Fashion designer.
Sure to bring that up.
She's nice. No, but I'll tell you. See, remember we were talking about motivation and how it's all I care about?
Yeah.
When I was working at his house, all those years ago, out in Valencia or wherever we were, I was out in the garage and I was doing my work out in the garage. I was like cutting some trim up and doing some stuff up. And when I was done, I swept up because I would always clean up after myself. And I hate it when people come in and make a mess and everyone does and they just leave. But I was going to clean it up. So I cleaned it all up and I got my broom and the dustpan and I took the dustpan and it was a full thing of like sawdust. And I was like looking around and there was a plastic, looked like a plastic trash can to me. And I walked up to it and I emptied the, out in the garage, and I emptied the dustpan into it. And then I went back upstairs into like Bean's office. I started working on the thing. And at some point, his wife like came up and was like, "What the hell's going on here?" or something. And I was
"What happened to my urn?"
And I was like, what happened? What do you mean? She's like, "You dumped sawdust all over the hamper. I had a sweater and a hamper out there, and you just dumped sawdust like all over it." And I was like, I thought that was a trash can out there. And she was like, "Why'd you do it?" And I was like,
I just explained that.
What's the meaning of this?
And then she was like, "You dumped it all." It's, by the way, it's a chick thing. It's a dude and chick thing, but it's a little more of a chick thing. Like, you got cut off the second I said trash can. You can't keep coasting. I know you're going to coast to a stop, but you have to stop. You have to stop immediately. Yeah. You have to stop because I was, in fact, cleaning up and I didn't know that was a hamper. I thought it was a trash can. But she just was like, "Why?" I was like, "I didn't know. Well, why would you think it's a—" And I was like, I don't know. I was cleaning up. I thought it was a trash can. It was in the garage, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I apologize for our gender.
Yeah. You guys do that.
By the way, I was talking about Kevin's wife, not Beans.
Oh. Oh, the designer?
No, Kevin's wife. Very, very cool. I've met her. And she does a lot of, like, outreach and, like, prison outreach and women with, like, you know, abuse. And she's very, very cool. Mm. But I don't know Bean's wife.
Mm, I've seen enough movies. You end up falling in love with a prisoner, and then you try to break him.
Mm. Oh.
That's how it's has to happen.
That's how it goes.
It's only a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a quickie break. Come right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show celebrates a decade of podcasting. March 10th at the Peterson Auto Museum. The fun begins at 2 p.m. with the 10-year anniversary show, CarCast, with Adam Carolla, Matt DeAndrea, and special guest, Jay Leno. Plus a celebrity car show throughout the day. At 5 p.m., join us for the screening of Uppity, the Willie T. Rib story, followed by a Q&A with the Ace Man and Willie T. And at 8 p.m., the 10-year anniversary podcast of The Adam Carolla Show. Featuring Adam's better half, Jimmy Kimmel. Tickets for CarCast, The Car Show, and the Uppity screening are still available. Get yours now at adamcarolla.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, Adam from Delaware here. I was hoping I could get a proper rant on the texting while driving. I drive a full-size pickup, and I have now seen my eighth person texting while they drive on my 8-mile commute home. Thanks, Ace. Have a great day.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
It's a multitask thing that everybody thinks. People should feel about multitasking how they feel about singing.
Okay.
And dancing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when you're drunk, but when you're
right.
Not, yeah.
When you're driving drunk, you can text.
Yeah, you can
but only,
conquer the world.
I don't, if I'm at a dinner party and somebody's singing and playing the piano, I don't grab the mic and go, let me take over. Like, I go, I can't sing.
Yeah, you may have fantasies. I wish I could.
And if it's the same party and somebody jumps in and starts busting a move, I don't go, clear out. Chris Brown,
make
I'm getting
way.
My move on.
These hips got something to say.
I'm going
to
oil this robot. I don't, because I go, I can't do it. Yeah. I don't got this. But when it comes to multitasking, everybody goes, I got this. I can answer this text. Yeah. And we've all done it. Brian and I were talking about it. You walk in with Christy. I walk in with Lynette. She's on her phone. And I'm like, all right, I'll wait here. I can do it. It's like, no, you hear every third word when we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm not upset about it. I just would like to wait.
It's an interesting approach. I know. So I said, I wish. So it's interesting that people have a, people don't. Sober people don't really think they can sing unless they can sing for
Correct.
The most part. Sober people don't think they can dance. They really don't think they can dance. They don't think they can fight. Like, they don't think they can do a lot of things, but everyone thinks they can multitask. Everyone thinks I can text and yep. I hear what you're saying. Keep talking. I'm just looking at my computer. Everyone thinks that. I'm trying to think of the things. Like, you know, you say to a guy, you say to Jimmy Kimmel, can you cook? He'll go, yeah, I'm a great cook. You say to me, can I cook? Yeah, not really. I can't. I'll make eggs. Right. You know, I don't go, no, I'm a chef.
Right.
I'm Michelin rated. Like, I would never get over my skis about, like, cooking, dancing, singing, doing chin-ups.
Eating pussy.
That's right. Climbing a thin rope. I would never say I could do things. But if you said, can you ride a unicycle? I'd say, I can ride a unicycle.
But watch this.
The multitasking is something that everybody thinks they can do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What are other things everyone thinks they can do?
A lot of guys.
Yes.
In my experience, I'm not going to call it any specific friends, but you know who you are who are listening. A lot of guys think they can barbecue. A lot of dudes can't barbecue.
Yeah.
Like, they can get things hot and just set them on fire. But,
yeah,
like the actual like Kimball barbecuing, like you need to devote some time. And I have friends who devote time and are good at it, but I have friends who think they can do it. And
those are the guys that are like, just because you can physically ride a motorcycle doesn't mean you're a motorcycle guy. Like, those are the guys who get the fully dressed hogs, make a lot of noise, and just sort of go back and forth down the boulevard. But they're not really motorcycle riders. They just like all the trappings of it.
They're the worst of all of it.
I think the barbecue guys like the trappings of it, but they're not really investing the time in it.
This one's more social, but this one I hear more often and I see it disproved more often. Everyone thinks they can make a good first impression. Like, oh, don't mind me. Parents love me. Or, oh, she's going to love me. I'm like,
oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah. Everyone kind of thinks pets love them or kids love them.
I base my inner circle by people who can truly make a good first impression. Because, you know, you cultivate your own relationships.
It's a tough barrier to entry, Gina.
No. I think this is key. This is one of the things that is really important to me.
Sure.
Because I invest a lot in my relationships with people, and I don't want somebody who I'm essentially vouching for coming in and doing something insane.
I don't claim... to be that person. I walked into my house on Saturday night. My daughter's sitting on the sofa. It's like a sectional sofa. Her friend is laying on top of the sofa, like long ways, just along the ridge line.
Like a cat.
With a bag of chips that's open, is eating on top of the sofa. Like, it's one thing just to be sitting and eating chips on the sofa with no tray or napkin or paper plate or anything. She's actually laying across, and I do the walk up the stairs, and I'm like, hey! She's like, huh? Off the sofa! She's like, oh, okay. I'm insane about what people do in my house. Like, same chick was...
On roller skates going down
the hallway and into the newly carpeted room. Like, hey, no roller skate. Like,
now I got a first impression.
Does she live in just a lawless world?
Look, this isn't a Natalia's friend thing. As when I shot Road Hard, I walked into the back of my shop and there's a dude with boots kind of close cousin, the guy who was shaving naked at the hotel when I was in with the 1 foot up on the counter. This guy was like reading his sides. Mm-hmm. And he was just standing next to one of my sofas, and he had 1 foot propped up on the arm. This had the boot, as if you were standing next to a sofa, and he just went, I'll just take one foot, and I'll put it on the arm of the sofa, and I'll just put the other one on terra firma, and I'll read my sides. And I just walked in the back shop, and I was like, hey! And he's like, huh? I was like, get your goddamn foot off my sofa. He's like, oh, hey, okay. Like, whatever, hey, I just walk around in boots and put them on other people's fabric. That's... I didn't know you weren't into that.
You're so uptight.
Most people enjoy that. Many cultures look at that as a sign of respect when you put your fucking boots on top of the fucking... Like, you're. How about sitting on the sofa? And then, of course, famously, when the guy was holding a shih tzu and trying to make himself a bagel and lox with an arm around one dog, and his dog and his one arm free trying to do a schmear at the lox station, I just yelled, hey! And he's like, huh? And I was like, put the dog down! Okay. Then the guy who doesn't want us to mention his name because he always gives out the wrong information on this show. That guy who always gives out the wrong information, doesn't want to give his name out. That guy turned to me and went, that's the dog we're using in the next scene. And I was like, oh, God, on the airplane? Yeah, that's the dog. I was like, oh, great. I just yelled at the handler. Now he's going to... There's a random guy with a dog.
He was quick with the misinformation.
Very fast on the draw.
Let's just call him misinformation.
That's right.
You must. Sorry. On the topic of things, let's say guys specifically for this one think they can do that they can't. You must get this a lot with cars. Like guys who think they kind of know cars or like that's a really nice car. And you're like, no, it's not. Guy, in my experience, a disproportionate amount of guys like really think they know like. Good beer, like oh, that's a really good beer. I'm like, no, that's not a good beer at all. You're definitely mistaken on that.
Well, they're car guys who claim they're car guys, and they go like, they'll pick me up and they'll go, and we'll start talking about cars. They'll be like driving a cab or an Uber or something. They go, I got a car, and they go, what do you got? I got a I'm into cars, man. I got a 1970 Chevelle SS in the garage, and I go like, oh, what motor you got in there? And he'll be like, oh, I don't know. And it's like, standard. Oh, you don't. Oh, okay, you don't know any. Yeah. Then you're not into it.
Gina, you've been wine tasting before. You go wine tasting. Everyone thinks they're an expert. Oh, this is really jammy. It's peppery. Look at my legs.
Really
tannins.
Oaky finish. So buttery.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I still think. The vast majority of Americans wouldn't claim to.
I certainly wouldn't.
The multitasking, everyone thinks they got it.
Yeah.
Well, think of you guys tweet us some of that stuff. Nick, 40, Philadelphia.
Yo, what's going on, Ace Man?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Not too much. Hey, I got a premise for a joke for you. I kind of fancy myself as a little bit of a comedian here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been telling this joke to a bunch of people, off and on, a bunch of friends. Some will tell me it's funny. Some will tell me it's terrible. I think it's hysterical. Want to get your opinion on it.
All right.
So the premise of the joke is basically back in the day, we to look at porn and stuff like that, we had to get magazines or we had to find some old Betamax tapes and stuff like that.
Sure.
Put them in, we'd watch and we'd lock the door. Nowadays, we got the internet, we got our phones, we got everything. The first thing you had to do back in the day was if you got, you know, someone may knock on the door, or you had to lock the door, someone came in. Nowadays, you're in the middle of doing your thing. All of a sudden, you're jerking off, and bang, grandma pops up on the phone because she's friggin' calling you.
Mm.
Funny? Not funny?
It's got the ingredients of funny. And so I think you'd have to, you know, season the stew a little. Mm-hmm. It's got the chunks of beef and the carrots and the potatoes.
It
just
kind of
needs a little... Needs a little flavor,
a little
flavor. But
it feels like a scene in a Farrelly Brothers movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, this is a situational.
It's got some, got some good elements in there. So it's got the makings of a joke, Nick.
Gotcha.
It's sort of like it's like saying that guy's super athletic, and now he needs to learn the sport he's going to play a little bit.
Yep,
it's kind of that. That's athletic. Mm-hmm. Now we got to just focus on your free throws,
your technique,
jump shot. All right, we're going to bring in Dr. Warren Farrell, who is a best-selling author, and has got a book called The Boy Crisis, Why Our Boys Are Struggling and What We Can Do About It. Bring him
what
in.
What are you talking about?
1 second.
A lot of specific questions for you, Doc.
Struggling. Slept in today. Lynette's such a soft touch. I'm like, where's Sonny? He's like, yeah, he's tired.
Wait.
And what?
Is it Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm like, what do you mean tired? And she's like, you didn't sleep well, so you're sleeping more. Like, okay. You're lucky
nice.
I don't care about education.
You're lucky I burned that homework.
If I was a doctor in Japanese, you'd be screwed, baby.
Shame ribbons.
You That's tell what answer right to.
Now, I'd be caning your ass right now instead of going to my
right,
office.
Like working at Abacus.
Yes. Believe me, the more I start hearing about college, hey, it's 60 grand a year, it's 65 grand a year. And I'm like, are you kidding me? No way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could pay 60 grand a year for
no,
top.
He's going to a state school. Don't worry about it. If he
yeah,
does it all.
It's all expensive now. And I don't even care about it anymore. And also, you know, find smoke pot in the garage and I'll teach you how to do the podcasting. All right, Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure, keeps them metal parts away from each other and rubbing on each other. It's three times,
fool.
Stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. They did a test with 5W30 viscosity grade, which is your average grade. And they put it up against other full synthetics, and it was three times stronger. Edge, formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. All right, we'll bring the doctor, and we're going to talk all about the kids. Oh, boy, do I have thoughts about these kids. Talk all about the kids. We'll do it right after this.
Thursday night at 10E in downtown Los Angeles, Corolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club. Featuring Up on Game with author Richard Stanley. I was wearing oversized creased solo jeans, a button-up short-sleeved flannel, black sunglasses, gloves, and a black and white hat. Patrons and employees looked my way on several occasions. Seems being dressed like a bank-robbing cholo while in line at a bank was somewhat suspicious. I looked around several times to make sure no one was creeping up on me, and then I heard it. A young woman's cheery voice said, "Next." One more quick thought. Walk out and say it was a bust, or just do it? If I don't do it, the homies will think I'm a bitch, I thought to myself. Can't be having that. This Thursday night, hear me read a chapter from Up on Game and meet former bank robber and guest of the state of California, entrepreneur Richard Stanley. Plus, be one of the first to taste the Lederhosen, the newest Mangria signature cocktail. The event is free. Details on the events page at adamcarolla.com. Up on Game. Available on iTunes and Audible.